The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on 95.1 FM, 100.2 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello.
Hello.
Tracy Ferguson has tweeted us and said, thank you for the lovely using the B-Bunker hashtag. Mention Paul and Jules. You're always welcome, Tracy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I expect she's doing some of her art while she's listening.
I'm sure she is.
She's lovely etchings, doesn't she?
She does. She's doing some craft workshops soon as well, which I'm going to tell you about
in
when that's all organised. She's going to be doing them at Island Works, yeah.
Lovely.
We're very pleased to invite her into Island Works to do that.
Good.
Cool. I'm going to read a couple of emails. We have two fantastic guests we're going to talk to shortly, but I need to catch up with some of this. There's networking. At Mount Vineyard, this event welcomes local businesses and individuals to network face-to-face while going for a walk. Good idea, isn't it? Offering an opportunity to build valuable business relationships while enjoying a lovely walk and talk. The walk will take around an hour. Lunch is provided by Thackeray Williams Solicitors. You meet at the coffee truck in the car park at the Mount Vineyard. And it's taking place on the 27th of October from 10:30 a.m. until 12. If you want to book it, or any of these, if you go to kempersradio.co.uk/calendar, they are all listed there with their booking links.
Fabulous. I'm just looking at the boys' lovely brochure, but I will read something as well, because we've got, there's a free...
Do you need some work on your bush?
Well, my buckthorn, yes. Probably. Introducing free social media training. This is Social Media Refreshers Week. And I'm trying to see who this is from. Oh, it's from ZC Social Media.
Yes, so
again. Often of this very, very show. So they say, have you ever wished to upskill your social media game to keep up the latest trends and strategies? We're hosting a special series of free webinars tailored just for that. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just diving into the world of social media, there's something for everyone, they say. Here's what you can expect. Mm-hmm. Actionable insights, network with fellow enthusiasts, interactive Q&A sessions, and much more. So they've got this gig on the 23rd of October to the 27th of October. It's there's a dedicated Facebook group and a Zoom, and they also have a face-to-face day too. It's completely free.
Free,
Paul
free.
Andrews.
Not two.
No, free. Or you can upgrade your ticket for recordings and face-to-face day access. And Zoe says, I personally believe this will be an invaluable opportunity for you, and here's why. So you can engage in real time. You can, if you miss a session, you can get a VIP ticket for exclusive access to all recordings. There's affordable learning. And we're also introducing, they say, the ZC Social Media Growth Academy with special reduced monthly membership fees. And they say, we'd love to see you there. Tickets are limited. Seats are limited. So if this intrigues you, register here ASAP. Go to zcsocialmedia.com/refreshers.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I wonder what they think about X.
It's that time of year again, and when the lovely Ella Brocklebank and Cheryl Crosbrook of Women in Construction stage their annual Kent Construction Charity Ball on behalf of Donations with a Difference, Dads. This is taking place on Friday the 24th of November at 7 p.m. until 2 a.m. It's a long one. It's at the Ashford International Hotel. And you can book tables, you can book individuals or tables of 10. It's a drinks reception, a three-course meal, raffle and auction, DJ and dance floor. All the proceeds go to Donations with a Difference, which is their charity. If you want to find out more or book a ticket, trustees at dwad.org. Trustees at dwad.org. That's the Kent Construction Charity Ball on the 24th of November.
Lovely. And Tunbridge Wells-based video production company Digitom. They say, we firmly believe in the power of giving back to society and making a positive impact on our community. As part of our corporate social responsibility commitment, we're offering a local charity the chance to receive a pro bono my dog always thinks that she's going to get a pro bono campaign.
That's for, a pro bonio.
Bonio. Other bonios are available. Campaign film and to be our next charity of the year. Previously, we supported Mental Health Resource and Nourish Community Food Bank, both in Tunbridge Wells. This year, we'd like to offer the opportunity for you to nominate a charitable organisation that you think could benefit from a campaign film. So how can you get involved? You can send your nomination to hello@digitom.tv. Tell us all about the charitable organisation and how a campaign film will help them. This might be good for Chinwe, maybe, do you think? As a certified B Corp, you can't get the professionals, you know, put the phone on silent. We say it every week. As a certified B Corp, we are committed to making a significant impact to support the community, pledging our resources to create a £5,000 film for the chosen charity, providing the services we would include for all our clients in a paid-for campaign. So this is great. There is a closing day. It's Tuesday the 31st of October this year, and the only criteria, they say, is that the organisation must operate within a 30-mile radius of Tunbridge Wells and also be a registered charity or community interest company, a CIC. So that's great. So go to hello@digitom.tv if you want to find out more. And all details are on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. And do you know what? We're going to talk to our guest now.
Yeah.
It's an absolute pleasure to talk to Adam Bennett and Luke Russell of Terra Firma Landscapes. Guys, thank you so much for being on the show and tolerating this nonsense. let's bring some decorum and professionalism and common sense by talking to you guys. I want to kick off with each of you telling me a little bit about you personally. So give us a little bit of background to each of you.
Okay, so I'm Adam Bennett, and I'm the general manager of Terra Firma Landscapes. A little bit about me, I have a lovely wife. I have a 3-year-old daughter as well.
How old?
Three.
Three, lovely. Yeah.
Absolute handful.
Please, for wife and daughter. Otherwise,
wife is called Jennifer.
Hello, Jennifer.
And daughter's called Penelope.
Hello, Penelope.
And yeah, that's what I do in most of my free time is family stuff. Basically, having a 3-year-old running about. And yeah, just love working for Terra Firma.
Okay. What's your background as far as work is concerned, Adam? Was this something you did at school, college, university, or
I started off in retail, so I've kind of got the, we were talking about it earlier, got the retail black belt, so I've been in almost every type of retail apart from clothing, and then I moved on to, went to sell seeds for a company called Mr. Fothergill Seeds, which was a really interesting job, and then Luke, who owns Terra Firma Landscapes, is my brother-in-law, and said he need some help growing the business.
And because you had seed. No, sorry about that.
So the seeds of business. I've got managerial experience, brought me on board, and yeah, haven't looked back ever since.
It's fantastic. How long have you been there, Adam?
I've been there about a year and a half now.
Okay, cool. Yeah, cool. So let's hear from you, Luke.
Yep. Well, my name is Luke Russell. Not very dissimilar to Adam, really. Right. I have a wife, Gemma, and a son, Connor, who's 3 years old as well.
Oh, really? So play date, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you two, am I right, you met in Halford?
We did, yes. And both management then.
You were working there, were you?
Yeah, working in the same store.
Right.
Yeah.
On the Kent Road.
Okay. Yes.
The old Kent Road.
Fun old days, yeah.
Yes. Very
Bermondsey, isn't it?
It was an experience.
Yeah.
So how do you go from Halfords to being tree arboriculturist or fellas?
Well, landscapers, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, before you answer that question, I think what's interesting, because when you talk about these things, I mean, she's referred to you as abolitionists or something.
Abolitionists.
Arboriculturist.
That's him, yeah. Let's get some definitions here. Terra Firma Landscapes is a landscape company.
Yeah.
Let's get some definitions of what the difference between gardening, landscape and garden design are and how those things come together, where they may come together or where they may not. Yeah. So give us an overview of the industry, as it were.
Okay, so from our perspective, being what's called hard landscapers, we build kind of the foundations for to make it look pretty. Yeah. So that's when your gardeners will come in, that's when your designers will come in. So we often work in conjunction with designers, so they'll come up with the ideas, and then we'll say how that works in real time. So if it's possible, if it isn't possible, could we suggest something different? And then once we're done, the gardeners will come in, they will do the planting, make it look fabulous. So it's kind of like building a house. So if you imagine, we are the guys that build the house, and then you get the people to come in to decorate it. That's kind of the difference between hard and soft landscaping.
Yeah, okay. You're kind of putting in the infrastructure to build it on, to hang it on.
Yeah, okay.
And I want to kind of explore some of the work that you do, because stop me if I'm talking nonsense, but it's kind of like the dirty work. You're moving a lot of stuff about and digging stuff up, and you have lots of machinery like diggers and stuff. Which is really good fun. Well, I had to lay a new I've got septic tanks in my garden because I don't live anywhere near a 15 minute in the city, and I had to lay a new pipe, so I hired a digger to and had great fun digging holes in my lawn but you do in hard landscaping, you're kind of shaping the land ready for this design to lay on top of it.
Absolutely. And about making, when designers and gardeners come in, it's they need to know what they're playing with. So if, for example, we'll come in and discuss with the clients, where do you want your beds, what do you want it to look like, you know, is there any areas of interest you'd like to have in the garden, we will then tailor that to their specifications. Then the gardeners will come in, and designers, and then plant it up according to kind of the space. So
when you're looking at a space that you're going to work in, how much do you take a look at the actual underlying structure? And what I'm trying to get at is, my garden, for instance, is clay. And whatever you do in my garden, it's a nightmare, because in the summer it bakes and cracks, and in the winter your feet stick to it. So whenever I try and get anything done, people go, not on clay, mate.
It's very difficult. Clay, and especially around the area that we have, it's a lot of clay soil around there. There is stuff that you can do to mitigate clay soil. So putting in something like attenuation crates is always great for drainage. You can, the way you lay turf is slightly different, so you dig the beds down to be slightly larger than they normally would.
Sorry to interrupt you there, Adam. Is that part of your remit? Would you lay the turfs and stuff like that?
It's basically for us, we don't, it's planting really, isn't it? We have got a maintenance,
it's all the pretty stuff, you know.
Well, we've got a maintenance team that, that we're branching out into that, because once we're in
branching,
I see what you did.
But we've just launched that, and they're coming into, once we've put in the nice garden, it does require maintenance over time to keep it looking good. And it's an investment, putting money into a garden. You want it to look nice. So there's a kind of, for us, there was that kind of gap between us and the customers, where we sort of said, bye bye, have a lovely time. But obviously, if they want to keep it looking good, that's where the maintenance come in.
Because there's different seasons as well, isn't there?
Absolutely,
you know, there
is,
you can get sort of a, I went out this morning, just picked a few flowers, and there's not a lot around in my garden at the moment. But I got a few things.
You can plant beds to have year-round interest, so you just, you plant bulbs in, and then they'll come up at a different time to something else. So
I find bulb planting terrible, because every time you know, you're supposed to do it like in autumn or whenever, and or spring. When you try and plant one, you find 50 other bulbs that you've planted every other year. It comes the time when you run out of bulbs, mate.
I've got wall-to-wall self-planted daffodils. I don't know how they got there. They're everywhere. Everywhere you look.
Lovely.
I have a wild garden, basically. I've also got a bluebell wood and a lake. And I can't be bothered to do the rest of the garden, so it's a wild garden.
Getting back to nature.
It is. It's actually quite nice, even though it's, you know, I've got lots of blackberry bushes and sloes and all kinds of things that grow there. Just thinking about the work that you do, though, and how you do it. Is there any I don't know what I'm talking about, so it's quite difficult to ask the question.
Sure.
But basically, when you come and look at a space and you go, do you ever go, do you know what, you'd be better off with a tree there because that would take some of the moisture out? Or what, you know, are there technical bits of looking at a piece of land and going, do you know what, you don't want to do it like that, you want to do it like this?
Sometimes there is, and our main thing is drainage. Yeah. So drainage is a huge problem. You have to funnel water somewhere or have enough bed or grass, for example, to take away from that water. So sometimes people will have an idea in their head to say, do you know what, we want this here, and then it's not feasible because there's nowhere to drain it off, or we have to run a huge run of drainage somewhere. Yeah. But it's really depends. You can plant things that will help to enrich the soil,
right?
But if you want to plant something afterwards, but most of the time for us we kind of walk into a job and try, and you get a few different types of customers with us: people that know exactly what they want and people that really haven't got a clue
that want you to guide them.
Absolutely. So we run through kind of a process of what, you know, how do you imagine yourself using the garden? You know, are you going to be entertaining outside, a bit of indoor outdoor living? Are you quite green fingered? It's quite a process, isn't it?
And how much time they have to maintain as well.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Because you could be green finger but not have any time.
Yeah. And there's a lot of things you do install which require a lot of maintenance that people, they look gorgeous, but then over time you don't realise how much of an investment you're going to have to spend with your time actually getting them looking right. So
Right, Luke, I'll beg you for some free advice now. Okay. I've lived in my house 17 years.
Yep.
I've relaid the patio at least 20 times, okay? Because every year the patio breaks up, What am I doing wrong?
How have you laid it?
I've had someone do it. I haven't done it myself, And they flatten the ground and they put sand down and stuff like that, and then they put patio slabs and cement it. But my ground moves, and it just moves noticeably.
Wow. Well, hey, it's quite a difficult one. So it could be maybe the foundations of the actual paving themselves aren't deep enough, because if your ground moves towards that extent, or maybe paving's not the right way to go.
Well, this is what I was hoping you might kind of guide me on, because basically people come along and go, we'll build a patio. I've got a patio, and then it steps up, and I've got a swimming pool, and I've got a patio around the swimming pool, okay? All of it moves. Even the swimming pool moves. It's got 145,000 gallons of water in it, and it still moves. Yeah, right. And it cracks the edges every year. Mm-hmm. Okay. But there's not much you can do about a swimming pool. But the patio, I keep thinking to myself, maybe a patio is not the best thing to do here. Mm. What are the alternatives?
So the alternative would be decking would be the better way to go.
Or move.
But obviously, you've obviously got to take into account, obviously, going from a swimming pool to decking.
Don't you get rats with decking? I've been told you get
only
rats.
If you order them.
Yeah. It's always a risk, and it depends on how high you put the decking. And then if it's around a swimming pool, I'd probably suggest composite decking.
Yeah.
So composite decking looks like real wood, but you don't have to maintain it like you do with
so normal. What is it? It's a plastic.
It's like a resiny material.
Yeah.
But it looks a lot like the old-fashioned stuff. Just used to look like Duplo bricks. It wasn't great, but now it really does look like they laser cut all kind of etchings into it.
Yeah, it goes like silver over time, it actually ages.
Yeah, and it's water resistant, UV resistant. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Okay, that's good advice. I tell you, I got to the point at one stage where I even thought about tarmacking around there.
Oh, please.
Please don't do that.
We built a pond. We had a big old garage. It was 1940s or something. Huge it was. And we've only got a small urban garden. And we knocked it down eventually. Oh, somebody came
in. She strangled home drunk one night and bumped into it, is what she meant.
We had a really nice fella that did it, Will, if you're listening. And when the space arrived, you know, the space was beautiful. So we decided not to build the summer house that we were going to do and build a big pond. And that time, lockdown, every person like you was absolutely flat out.
Yep.
So we had a 6-month wait to build our pond. So new husband did it, and it's absolutely amazing the wildlife that we've got from it already. It was only in September.
Mm.
It's just been a really, really peaceful.
The seagulls had your fish, though,
didn't
they?
We've had to net it because the seagulls, got the fish. And they don't just get the fish. They pick them up and then drop them on the lawn and sort of massacre them. But we've got a big waterfall to take away the noise of the Herne Bay Road. So it's lovely. Mm. But are you doing many ponds and things? Do you do many ponds?
Kind of, we do. We work in conjunction with a company that will help us do ponds, because ponds are quite are difficult. Yeah, and they're very, very specialist. What you can do to get that, like you've done, is just get a water feature. Mm. So if you had like a water feature, just the noise alone is quite mindful. And
beautiful,
it's it's lovely. And they're very easy to install as well, water features. You can get one solar-powered ones, so you don't even need actual power to it. You just plonk it where it is, change the water every couple of weeks.
You can get things that float on a pond, don't they? That circulate the water and chuck it up, and it's all, as you say, solar powered.
Or frog's legs, of course, could be another way. So when the frog swims, you could connect little things to it. To make power.
Yeah. I mean, why has no one done this?
Or toad.
Frogs are stupid animals.
unless you eat their legs.
The amount of frogs I have to scoop out of my swimming pool is unbelievable. I've got a big lake. It is a lake, isn't it, Jules?
I've
got a big lake, which is full of wildlife, obviously, and they all crawl out of there and get in the swimming pool, which is full of chlorine, and then die. And they haven't worked it out in years, stay in the lake rather than the pool. But anyway, what's popular in landscaping now? What's the vogue? What's the thing? What's everybody asking for? Is there any one thing?
Yes, Venetian style slatted fencing.
Of course, that's such a big thing now, isn't it?
Huge. Yeah. Everybody loves a Venetian style slatted fencing,
Especially the hit and miss.
The hit and miss is
what? How does that look like?
So the trouble with Venetian slatted fencing is it looks gorgeous, but you can see through it.
Because there's a slat.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So if your neighbours are in the garden, you're forced to talk to them. So the Venetian hit and miss is it's a Venetian panel, and on the back the panels are offset, so they block out the hole, but it still looks like a
Venetian panel.
Clever. It's good, and you can hand build it, so you can do it to whatever size you want. But that is, I'd say, everybody wants Venetian slatted.
So that's the big thing at the moment.
It's funny how things go in fashion. And my new husband and I were chatting about that, how we're clones and we all follow each other. So somebody gets that fence and then the next person gets it and the next person. In Whitstable at the moment, we've got bloody cladding everywhere on houses. So they're all looking like they're in Maine, there's fishermen's huts and things. And it's very strange how we all copy each other, but want to be unique in a funny kind of way.
Plus with the advent of like Pinterest and things like that, people just, the ideas just flow, and that's how they it spreads so quickly.
Now, have you come across this? I said to you earlier, I live in Tenterton. We have a company in Tenterton called Potter's Home Digital. They're a particularly tech company. They build cinema rooms. They also build cinema rooms for the garden, but actually in the garden. So they got waterproof televisions and things like that. Have you come across anything like that?
Not too often, no. We've come across some weird stuff, but that people want to install in their garden, and we kind of have to try and persuade them out of.
Not to do it. You don't want to do that.
Something. A recent one is there's a lot of difference between tiles that you can put outside, but someone wants to put a bathroom tiles outside on the patio, but it's laid completely differently to what you normally would, and they're quite slippery as well.
They
will get filthy, and it's just an awful idea. But
They're really the slippery bathroom tiles.
Yeah, you've got to have an R rating on them. But I would never put bathroom tiles outside at all. There's so many other options that you could go
Plus,
for.
Plus, I would think they're not really frostproof, are they?
No,
ice rink.
Yeah, they're thin as well. Very thin bathroom tiles. You need big, thick ones to go outside.
One assumes that they like it because they found a bathroom tile whose pattern they like. And rather than go and find a proper tile maker and go, can you make a pattern like that for outdoors, they just try to use bathroom tiles.
Just nip down to one of the tile places, pick up a sample. Tiles are us. Want that installed outside. But
I'm looking at your beautiful brochure here, and it looks like you're working in a lot of London. You've got the yellow stocks, the bricks.
London stock bricks,
lovely,
bricks,
beautiful. And I saw a big green egg. You're working with Jackson's Fencing, where we know quite well as
accredited
well.
Accredited Jackson's installers. Yeah. So, yeah.
Amazing. Now, I have a question. So, first of all, Luke, what is your favourite tree and why? And not to pull down, but if you were going to grow one in your garden, what would you choose?
I would probably stick with one that I've got.
Which is?
A cherry tree.
Oh, right. Cherry tree. And are they edible cherries or is it ornamental?
Yes.
And do the birds get it first?
They try to.
So do you net it?
I have sort of slight netting, but I don't want to steal away from the birds because I quite obviously the birds coming in and stuff. Yeah. So I just try not to be too selfish.
Okay. Yeah. So cherry tree is yours and...
Mine is either a Japanese maple or an Acer. I just think they're
gorgeous. So they're the ones
trees.
That go red in autumn, are they?
Yes, they are, yeah. Very beautiful. Oriental looking, and they're gorgeous trees when they
And what about maintenance for, I guess cherry tree isn't too difficult. You
it's
prune it,
bad.
Do you? When do you prune it?
You could prune it, it's not too bad, but you just got to be aware there's quite shallow roots. So you just got to make sure you keep aware of it, make sure it doesn't go out too much, otherwise you've got to take the tree down maybe.
Okay, and...
Aces are quite, they're relatively easy to take care of. They need part sun, part shade. So you can't have, they will get scorched if you put them out. But normally they're quite nice as a feature. So if you've got a garden, you've got a corner to the garden. If you plant an Acer in the corner, they grow quite tall and it's quite an eye catcher when you pop out into the garden.
Now, what about my lovely silver birch, which is a... That shape, a weeping one.
Yes.
What do I need to do with that? I planted it last October.
Not too much. They're quite quick growing.
Good.
You will be probably 2-3 times a year. You'd have to get it trimmed back if you want it to keep it healthy. And that's the thing with trees as well. You do have to trim them back to keep them healthy. Mm. If you don't, then they will get out of control, and that's when you can get branches that will break off and aren't great. So it is, if you ever see trees getting trimmed, it's not... Sometimes they do a bad job, but most of the time it is to keep the tree actually healthy.
I was quite sad because I chose the silver birch because I wanted an English tree. Mm. And then when I actually got it and the chap put it in for me, he said it was from Italy.
Yeah.
So they grow them in Italy, but it's an English tree. Yeah. But I guess that's about land, isn't it?
And well, I got my own back. I bought an olive tree.
Oh,
from the garden centre a couple of years ago. It was like 2 foot tall in a pot, and I stuck it in a pot different places. It didn't do very much, and eventually I took it out of the pot and I just stuck it in the ground. Mm-hmm. It's about 15 feet tall now, this thing. And it's massive. It's just a massive olive tree, and I actually had an olive on it this year.
Wow. Really?
The first time.
Edible?
Yeah. I ate it. Oh, I ate it.
I know you ate it, but was it edible?
I ate it. I'm not going any further with that. Yeah.
Did it have a stone?
It did, actually, yeah.
Oh, that's very good.
Because I've got a plum tree. You know, that my gardener man, Dan, he accidentally cut down my plum tree.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I had a walnut tree, a plum tree, and a tree of some kind. And that tree... The roots were going into my swimming pool, but the tree itself was dead, but the roots were still on the bottom of it. I said, can you cut that down? And he cut the wrong one.
Oops.
And then just to add insult to injury, this wasn't his fault, my walnut tree got struck by lightning.
No way.
And split it right down the middle. So that did for that as well. But to say sorry, he bought me a new plum tree. Yeah. And we planted it. And this year, I had a fantastic crop, and I thought, at the weekend, I'm going to go and pick those. And when I went out, there were none left. The birds and the wasps had the lot. And don't even get me started on blooming squirrels.
He has mad Mexican squirrels.
I've got mad Mexican squirrels.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Basically, I know they're Mexican. I've got lots of bird feeders, and blooming squirrels keep... eating all the food. And people have sold me stuff saying this is squirrel proof and it takes the squirrels 5 minutes to get into it.
They're clever squirrels.
Yeah. So I contacted the Royal Society for preservation of birds. No, for birds. And I go, how do I feed my bird? I've got a beautiful selection of birds that come in my garden. How do I feed my birds and keep the squirrel off? And they go, it's really easy, mate. They said, birds have no sense of taste or smell, but squirrels do. If you mix all the food with really hot chili powder, the squirrels won't touch it and the birds don't mind. So I mixed all the food with really hot chili powder and the squirrels ate a lot. Hence, I know they're Mexican squirrels.
Because they like a chili.
Yeah.
Because they like a chili. Mm. Yeah.
I went to... the dog has been away, but I went out this morning and she was eating rotting pears because we've been away. We haven't been able to pick the pears, so I had to grab her in. So the new husband's gone out to... We've got two pear trees and a plum tree.
How many have you got?
Two pear trees.
There's a pear.
And a partridge. and a plum tree. And the plum, we get one year, we get this amazing crop. So many beautiful plums. You just stand and eat them, but then we freeze them. And then the next year, quite a slight, you know, less that day. So really you need two plum trees.
Mm.
Because they alternate.
I tell you what, I've got wild. It's just wild. They just grow in a hedgerow at the edge of my woods. Sloes.
Oh yeah.
And I get massive, massive crops of sloes every year. Yeah.
Exactly. So, when with your tree felling business, what are you removing in London? What are you having to remove? The London plane trees, or
I mean the tree side of the business. Yeah, there's a lot of difficulties in London with removing some trees because you can get protection orders put on trees if you're in a conservation area. Then the council are very strict about what you can and can't do. Mm. So,
how difficult is it to get a protection order? Because I've got a beautiful old Scottish pine that must have been there years, and my neighbour next door moans about it because we've got very small gardens.
Yeah.
And she says the bits are going in a swimming pool.
Right.
So I mean, I want to protect it because I don't want to sell my house and somebody chop it down.
Yeah. I mean, every council is different and every council will deal with it in a different way, as with everything, basically.
There's no hope with Canterbury Council.
No. That'll go, have it. We'll send someone around with a saw.
Like my buckthorn bush, yeah.
So you can apply for it. The best way to do it is if you've got if it's a necessity for something. So if you find a species of bird in there, for example, that is just nesting in that tree, and then you so happen to find out that, pigeons,
they love it.
I don't think you could get anything for that. But that's a way of being able to do it. If you can prove that the age of the tree, for example.
Okay.
But it's always just worth putting it in if you want to put a protection order in. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the work that is done, there's not too much felling. There's a lot of just trimming and pruning and keeping stuff in check. And a lot of stuff is quite difficult, especially the huge trees. The guys get up there and have to take it all down.
And you're a manager now.
Yes.
But how much do you still do the tree bits?
Zero.
Do you still go up and down? Yeah. You don't now.
No.
Do you miss it?
I haven't done it, but Luke, the actual owner of the company, started off as a tree surgeon. That's where he was, and that's his that was his passion.
Mm.
Started London Tree Care and then bought Terra Firma Landscapes, took it over. And he sometimes he gets his hands dirty still, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've had a few jobs we had to call him in. But for us, we were pretty much brand new to the industry, weren't we?
Mm.
And you just pick it up as you go, really. Yeah.
It's interesting. I mentioned my trees earlier. You mentioned earlier, Adam, it's very true. The trees around my garden are huge, and they're just going mad in terms of growing. Every now and again, one of them comes down because they're so big that the clay, when it gets wet, can't hold them, and the tree will come down in a high wind. But the biggest thing is the amount of wood that I get when the wind blows, because there's, they haven't been pruned for a few years, so there's a lot of dead wood up in the top of the trees.
Yeah.
And it can be dangerous because there's wood flying around all over the place and it's coming down from a great height as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's why it's good to get a tree surgeon or someone in every so often, because they won't just prune it. They'll check the tree as well, check the canopies, make sure everything's okay. And then if there's a branch that is, sometimes it looks healthy, but you actually touch it, it's not. They will do branch checks and make sure it's okay.
Yeah.
So,
absolutely. It's,
And what about the rules with nesting season and all that? Do you have to advise people if they want you to trim their bush, for example, that you would say, well, we can't do it now?
Sometimes, absolutely.
So it's beginning of March, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's growing seasons as well with trees. So you can't really, there's some trees that you can't prune in certain seasons. So otherwise it's detrimental to their health. But the guys that are on the team know they're very, very good on our teams. And most arborists are anyway.
I want to kind of finish off on a bit of controversy, maybe.
Okay.
Maybe. Artificial turf.
Okay.
I hate it.
Why do you hate artificial?
I'll tell you why. Because I was actually approached by someone, I get a lot of DMs, so I probably won't be able to find them, who has sent me loads of stuff on plastic grass, which is what it is, mainly carcinogenic to walk on with bare feet because it's plastic and you're walking on it. As you know, you take through your skin, you absorb, which is why if I put cream on, I use something organic.
Sorry, guys, I knew this was going to be.
Also, it doesn't biodegrade. So, and also, the birds can't peck it. So, if you look at your lawn in the morning when it's rained and all the blackbirds are there and all the starlings are peck, peck, peck for worms, They're ingesting plastic. I hate it. I absolutely. And if any of your clients want to have it, get them to phone me because I will put them off. Over to you.
Yeah. just to counter that, my dad was an avid gardener. He's passed away now. Yeah. My dad was an avid gardener.
Ban artificial grass.
Yeah. he built. Not only his own gardens, he did other as a hobby. He was a builder originally for work, but gardening was his passion and his joy and his love. And he built some fabulous gardens. As he got into his late 80s, he couldn't manage it, and he actually put artificial grass down, which he did it because he couldn't do anything else. He couldn't mow it anymore and keep it, and he needed it to make it look nice. Is there still a big demand for artificial grass? And it doesn't all have to be plastic either, does it? I mean, there are different materials that people use now.
There is, yeah. There's lots of... And the way that they make them nowadays, like whenever we go to talk to people about fake grass, they always call it AstroTurf.
Yeah.
And it's not... AstroTurf is slightly different, and it's got a bit of a reputation. But the grass that comes out now that they're making is really nice to look at. And you're right, it's for a certain type of person.
Yeah. One that's too lazy to mow their garden.
Well, either that, or if they've got, for example, if they're not as mobile as they used to be, or you sometimes get places where there's trees, for example, underneath a tree, you probably know that you'll always get a strip around the bottom of the tree where it won't get any water, won't get any light, and that's for if you had an area that was covered in a tree, you're either going to leave it as a mud pile, which is what it's going to be, or you could put a small bit of artificial turf down that'll be green all year round. You have to look like a bit of someone that's a bit insane because you have to hoover it. So you've got to hoover your artificial lawn and brush it. But it's a certain type of person. I'd say we get a few requests for it, don't we?
Yeah, definitely. And you're right, there are different materials, aren't there? My kids were hockey players, and hockey pitches, proper ones, are always AstroTurf now. Yep. But most of them are water based. In the old days, they were sand based. Now they're bathed in water most of the time. Mm-hmm. You pump water onto them, and they are completely different to the type of artificial pitches that football use. They use the 3G pitches now, which is chopped up rubber tyres.
And the stuff that they're producing now, you can't really notice the difference, and even to touch, it's quite soft to touch. But it's good. I mean, it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
Like composite decking, for example. Composite decking's amazing. It's fantastic, but it's not real wood.
Yeah.
So a lot of people want the natural stuff, but there's
sniffy about it.
There's benefits to having it, and there's benefits to having real stuff. So it's all
there's Waitrose decking and there's Tesco's decking, basically. It's what it boils down to.
Decking can be slippery though, can't it? As well, if you're not careful.
Yes, and it is important. If you've got real decking, it's important to try and keep it in good condition. Mm. So once a year, at least go out and oil it.
Because it gets slimy otherwise.
It gets slimy, and then what will happen is the joists underneath are the first things to go. So they'll start to rot from the ground up. They will go, and then you'd have to replace the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, but then with composite, the whole of the decking is made of composite, so you'll never ever have to change it again. So, but it's more expensive.
But then it swings and roundabouts because you're saving on the yearly maintenance.
But it's got a lifetime. Yeah. The lifetime value has got to be better, hasn't it?
There's always features and benefits with everything, and landscaping is always a trade-off. There's always some way to sort out a problem, and it's kind of what you're willing to invest into it. If it's an initial investment, normally is a larger investment in the beginning to pay off over time, or you save a bit of money and then you've got to kind of maintain it for a bit longer. So
cool. Listen guys, fascinating talking to you about this whole landscaping, gardens and everything else that's going on in the industry. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
If
people want to find out more about Terra Firma Landscapes, what's the best way to do that?
Is just gone to our website, which is terrafirmalandscapes.co.uk, or you can email us at info@terrafirmalandscapes.co.uk.
Fantastic. Adam, Luke, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
We've got a couple of minutes left for the show, but for the moment, brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you.
Casey K9 has tweeted in, "Hi, Paul and your little helper." That's me. "Please can you give a shout out to a very excited greyhound looking forward to seeing his best buddy Zippy on Thursday.
Who? Zippy?
Zippy.
Who's Zippy then?
That's his best buddy, the Greyhound.
Yeah, but where's Zippy from? Hold on, you don't just suddenly voice this thing on us.
Well,
I mean,
it must be a Kent Greyhound rescue.
Last week, this Greyhound was getting all loved up over your Greyhound, and now he's...
I know. If Darcy knows about Zippy, there will be,
We need to know who Zippy is. Come on.
We do. We want a picture. And Tracy Ferguson says, what a lovely conversation with the guys from Terra Firma Landscapes. Really informative and great advice. I love Aces, she says. Beautiful, but incredibly expensive. To buy a mature one.
Yeah.
Everything is in pots, she says. She has a postage stamp sized garden. Paul and Jules's gardens sound lovely. Well, you can pop round, Tracy.
Yeah, come over. Bring your shears.
Come on over. pick some pears.
Yeah. I don't know if you read this. Tenterton Chamber, did you read that?
I might have done, but you can read it.
I'll read it again. Hi, Vanilla Web and Jules. Please give a shout out to a busy Chamber team still working on new membership applications.
Nude membership?
Yeah.
Tenterton, very busy town. Lots of nice small shops.
It's a small market town. It's lovely. Tracy Ferguson says, yes, I've booked a provisional date for a craft workshop day at the wonderful Island Works. Well, thank you, Tracy. We look forward to welcoming you to the Island Works.
She's put a picture of some of her art up as well.
Yeah, so excited to share my love of mixed media printing with others and in such a beautiful location. As soon as I've worked out all the details, set up a website, etc., I'll let you know, and we'll happily promote that for you. And we're really looking forward to you coming over to the Island Workshop and Island Works and doing your workshop.
And she also likes the cakes there, I do believe.
We just introduced some new toasties as well. You'll like this. Our best-selling toastie at the moment is Snickers and Nutella.
Wow. Delicious. On toast.
A toastie, yeah. Mm. Snickers and Nutella toastie. And we also do a banana, honey and cinnamon toastie.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Honey, that reminds me, when you're away.
Not on air.
the general manager of Eastwell Manor has got a jar of honey from their bees.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Do you ever work with bees, you boys?
No.
Not if you can help it.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
But do you have to ever remove, you know, bees or wasp nests? Do you get a specialist in?
It's specialists, really, because
far too buzzy, after all.
Absolutely. Yeah. We prefer to get them relocated, because bees are obviously so important to the environment, and it's good to relocate them to somewhere where they're going to actually thrive rather than someone's back garden. Yeah. And bumblebees actually go underground.
Yeah. Do they?
Yeah.
Who knew?
But bees aren't really a problem, are they? They're quite docile bees. It's blooming wasps. We've got those...
I'm a champion wasp.
We've got those blooming Euro hornets Asian now as well.
They've come. Where did they come from? I know they came from Asia, but did they come in somebody's suitcase, or how did they come over?
No, they booked a flight. They booked a flight and came over, didn't they? Right, Westrum Networking. This is part of the Seven Oaks Chamber. We hope you can join us on October the 11th for our next meeting for Westrum-based focused businesses. We're delighted to be able to host this meeting at Valence School. We'll be raising money for our charity of the year, Seven Oaks Samaritans, with a business card draw. Entry is free for Chamber members, but you can bring a guest. That's the 11th of October, 10:30 till 12. All the details can be found and booked at kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar.
And the West Kent Business Grant Scheme is still open for applications. Successful applicants will receive £500 to invest in their business, which will support growth and or reducing their carbon footprint. If you can start your application now, you can go to the grant application site, and it's grants.smartersociety.org. Applicants must be submitted by Wednesday the 11th of October, so that's next week, I believe. Mm-hmm. And all details on kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Cool. Social Enterprise Kent has created an event called the Sustainable Social Business Model Conference. It's taking place on October the 11th at the Turner Contemporary Gallery in Margate.
The Turner, lovely.
The Turner Contemporary in Margate. It's Wednesday the 11th of October at 10 a.m. Sustainable social business models in a rapidly changing world. Social organisations face unique challenges in ensuring their long-term financial stability while staying true to their mission. So this is the Sustainable Social Business Models Conference on October the 11th in Margate.
And we have a Growth of Ashford Economic Development Seminar. This is on Friday the 13th. 1:30.
That's not a good day to hold it, is it, really?
That's why I paused. 1:30 to 4 p.m. is at Kent Invicta Chamber in Ashford. T for Tigger, N for Norman, 24, O for Ollie, L H, and it's free to attend for members of the Kent.
C for Pterodactyl.
Yeah, non-members are £10. It's going to focus on key issues surrounding the growth and current developments in and around Ashford. That's one for you, Paul Andrews, really.
Yeah, we just opened in Tenterton, the Tenterton Trading Post, new business centre.
There's a Business Bites Kent Invicta Chamber, Cash is King, Debt Collection, and it's a bite-sized session. You can hear from Paul Abdi from Brachers LLP, they're the solicitors. He'll be discussing debt collection and how your company can thrive in uncertain times. This is Thursday the 12th of October, 1 to 1:30, online via Zoom, free to attend.
Cool. There's Tunbridge Wells Networking on October the 19th. It's the third Thursday network, Tunbridge Wells. This one is sponsored by a chamber business partner, Wellham Jones Funerals and Memorials. The meeting is hosted at Mount Ephraim House. Once a royal hunting lodge used by King Charles II and Nell Gwynn, Mount Ephraim House is today a stunning not-for-profit care home run by Greensleeves Care. As a charitable organisation, our focus is on delivering high-quality care and a nurturing community. Entry to the networking is free for chamber members, and guests can also come along for a small pittance. And we will be raising money for our nominated charity, Tree of Hope and West Kent Mind, with a business card draw. So, Tunbridge Wells Networking at Mount Ephraim House, 10:30 till 12 on October the 19th.
And a picture of Zippy has come up.
Oh, right, good.
Yes, he's a very beautiful, it might be a she, but he or she is a very beautiful, sort of a tan and white with a very, very lovely face, greyhound.
It might be a non-binary greyhound.
It could be, yeah, it could be.
Could be they, them.
Yes, and Darcy has sent them a humph, a message, because she's a bit miffed.
Humph, right.
Yes, humph. Camber Beach Clean, you can join the Gallivant for our next community beach clean for those who are in the Camber Sands area. Keeping the local beach clean, tidy and safe for wildlife and visitors is a cause we hold close to our hearts. It's free to anyone. The event, food and drinks are free. Donations on the day to Blood Cancer UK will be warmly welcomed. You meet at 10 a.m. at the Gallivan. I take that as a pub, is it, Paul?
It's a pub, restaurant.
Everything. And then you walk to Camber Sands, and then at 11:30 there's refreshments and snacks. That's when I'd arrive, I think, 11:30.
Yeah.
And then at 12...
Avoiding the work, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. 12 o'clock finish. Well, when the, you know, snacks and that come out, I would say I've got to go to the loo.
If you're going
to
do beach cleaning at Camber Sands, what you need is a book on the tide times. That's the thing that makes the big difference.
Because
when the tide goes out at Camber Sands, you can basically walk to France.
Yeah.
The water is about 8 miles away, so you don't want to do beach cleaning while the tide's out.
And then you could have an aperitif. I'm quite good at aperitifs now.
Yeah, well, I notice, yeah. Mm.
KBS have got a business soundbite. Kent Business School, I think that is, yes.
Yeah, University of Kent. Yeah.
They are leveraging LinkedIn for international business development. 16th of November, 1 o'clock to 2 GMT, in person or via a live online platform. You can hear from Kent Business School academic experts and the USAID Economic Support for the Ukraine project. And to view the full agenda and register, go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar.
I'm going back into lecturing again.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm going to be lecturing.
Are you going to be lecturing?
Christchurch University in Canterbury.
Okay. When?
In October, November and December.
And what's your theme?
I'm talking about entrepreneurship and business startup to the business and MBA classes there. Right, there's a coffee morning at Kenwood Trust. It's the monthly Kenwood coffee morning. It takes place the last Thursday of each month. Cakes and savouries are available, as well as coffee, obviously. It's 10:30 till 3 p.m. No need to book, just turn up at the cafe at Kenwood Trust, Kenwood Road, Yalding, just outside Maidstone. And the next one's on Thursday the 26th of October. Do it. Go there.
There's a startup session with the Geo brand. It's a cohort for autumn, they say. Four sessions designed to develop your startup business into a powerful and sustainable brand. The GO team will guide you through the key stages of launching a powerful and sustainable brand and a digital presence. Free workshops. They're going to be fortnightly, they say, starting October the 19th at 10 a.m. And it's at the Business Terrace in Maidstone. And again, you can go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and put a little forward slash.
Cool. Orchard Employment Law, a leading UK employment law and HR consultancy, is thrilled to announce an exclusive webinar on employment law updates for employers. This timely and informative event is scheduled for the 10th of October and is targeted at supervisors, middle managers and business owners. The webinar will be hosted by Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, who we heard from earlier, a global award-winning businesswoman and figure in the field of employment law. Known for her engaging and insightful presentations, Gemma has been a trusted advisor to numerous businesses across the UK. Registration for the webinar is open on Eventbrite. Simply search Eventbrite for Orchard Employment Law to find and book the event. That's taking place on the 10th of October.
I was just saying that Tracy's put a sample of some of her art up on Twitter. It's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, yeah. lovely colours, aren't they, as well? Mm. Pastels and nice cool. Short colours.
Have you got anything else that needs reading?
Did I read the Kent Medway Business Summit?
Yes.
12th of January. Did I?
I don't know.
Anyway, it's the 12th of January. You can book in all the usual ways, Kent Business Radio. You can receive £10 off the ticket price if you purchase before the end of September.
There's a charity based on Ronnie Marsh called CARM, C-A-R-M. That's Caring All Together on Ronnie Marsh. And they're a befriending service for people that live in isolated communities.
Of which there'd be a lot around.
And there's
Ronnie
a lot on the Marsh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they're looking for volunteers. They're looking for volunteers. The befriending service can be face-to-face or telephone-based.
Okay.
Yeah. So if you fancy helping out people that are living in isolated places on the Marsh by befriending and spending a bit of time every week just chatting to people, do get in touch with them. Their website is calmromneymarsh.org.uk. That's C-A-R-M, calmromneymarsh.org.uk. Or you can email them at office@calmromneymarsh.co.uk. Or you can call them on 01233 758 122. That's 01233 758 122. If you fancy volunteering for CALM.
Yeah, and hello to all our listeners in Romney Marsh and all the surrounding areas.
Yeah,
Rye.
Where else? All the way down to Hastings. You can hear us now on FM.
From
Folkestone right the way round.
Hastings is lovely. I need to go and visit.
Yeah. I'll let you know when she's coming, Hastings, so you can put up the barriers.
It is lovely.
We've reached the end of another show.
We have.
We have. I want to say a huge thank you to all of our guests. We heard from Sarah Marsh Collins of Babel Monkey Media earlier, Gemma Fairclough-Haynes of Orchard Employment Law, our two fantastic guests from Terra Firma Landscapes, Bennett and Mr. Luke Russell. Thank you so much. To my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, Jill Serkin.
I'm going home to my fridge out now. Sort out the door.
To little Darren Wheel, who sat very quietly in the corner for the whole show.
And diligently found my author, David Nichols, who wrote, I really recommend him. His writing is great. Us, One Day, Sweet Sorrow, Start of a Ten, and The Understudy.
Yeah. We'll be back with another show next week. Thank you to everybody that tweeted, emailed, and contacted us. Have a safe week, everybody. And we will see you all soon. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.